Welcome in. It's Wednesday, and it's episode 4 of the Hail Mary podcast. It's common knowledge that the Big 12 is massively wealthy and fundamentally sound. So when I tell you between Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Maryland, Michigan, MSU, Minnesota, Nebraska, Northwestern, OSU, Penn State, Purdue, and Wisconsin, not one point has been scored in the college football playoff since January 12th of 2015. Keeping that in perspective, the Big 12 has reached the last two playoffs. So this was a prominent topic brought up at Big 10 Media Days, and nearly every coach was confronted about the college football playoff drought. All quotes attributed pretty much the same thing, which was along the lines of scheduling. The way the Big Ten schedule plays out, there are 9 league games within the Power 5. Well, I guess the ACC and the SEC are only relevant in this conversation, but of those conferences, they only have 8 league games. So Scott Frost, Nebraska's head coach, says, "You don't have to be a genius to figure out that if you play 9 conference games and you're beating each other up, teams with 8 conference games are going to be in a better situation." James Franklin of Penn State said, "If you're going to ask a group of men and women to go into a room and make a decision on who belongs in the playoffs, then everybody should be under the same playing criteria. So everyone should be 7 conference games or 8 conference games or 10. I don't care, but it should be standardized." In all, I agree. Hopefully, I'm not breaking news for anyone here, but with football being the gruesome physical sport that it is, every week does count, and the college football playoff is and has been looking at that playoff expansion that would only help this argument in terms of more teams being considered for the CFP. But every game matters. You lose 2 games in a season and you're nearly out of the discussion. So when you're talking about one more highly competitive conference matchup, it's a tough situation. Now, whether or not the Big Ten is underappreciated in playoff consideration, well, talk to 2017's Central Florida about that. Moving on to the next segment and staying on the football narrative, football preseason is underway tomorrow, meaning 1 month until the regular season kickoff. And the scene was set last night with Hard Knocks debuting with the, at the time, Oakland Raiders, which they are right now, and soon to be Las Vegas Raiders in 2020. Now, this is the 14th season of Hard Knocks, and I've watched the HBO series off and on since middle school, and I'm pretty sure I vaguely remember, but my first season watching was the 08 Cowboys. And for me, this is why this season is especially exciting as a football fan. So me formerly being a Steelers fan, that's another conversation, but seeing Antonio Brown outside of the media coverage after the drama in Pittsburgh of him being unhappy and now obtaining a pay increase. It was $38.925 million with Pittsburgh, and now with Silver and Black, he has $50.125 million. It's huge to see how he's adjusting to the team and what it looks like when a superstar does chase that money. And who Antonio is, I'm hoping to get answers on if Brown is truly the headache that the Steelers were ridding. Amidst all of that, I'm bought in on Jon Gruden, and this validates it all.
Everybody right now has dreams, don't they, guys? I said it to the rookies, all right? Everybody in the NFL, I have a dream of making it in the NFL. I got a dream of winning a Super Bowl. I got a dream of being in a Pro Bowl. I'm really not into dreams anymore, okay? I'm into nightmares. You guys with me on that? You got to end somebody's dream. You got to take their job. You got to take their heart. Are you guys clear about this NFL now? We're not trying to go to the Peach Bowl. We're not trying to go to the Gator Bowl or the Blue Bonnet Bowl. We're trying to go to the Super Bowl, okay? And to do that, you got to really try to end somebody's dream.
So don't take the series and its content too seriously. So this is a piece of a Don Banks interview with Freddie Banks. May Don rest in peace. And Banks said, that being Freddie Banks, "If you're truly asking the players to be all about the team, I would say Hard Knocks makes it difficult to do because those cameras are always looking for someone to make a star out of." And in terms of last night, I thought Ollie might be the star coming from Last Chance U, but he was cut within 5 minutes of me gassing him up on social media. So overall, just an exciting season of Hard Knocks ahead of us. And take it for what it is. And I'll end with this. The Raiders have G-Eazy. The Rams have YG. I think that's very indicative of Northern California for anyone that is confused about the differences between the two sides of the state. But that's it for this week's Hard Knocks Talk. Until next Tuesday. Now we'll move forward with the next segment. Such a special part of the game of baseball that really drew me into the sport was the importance of a strong farm system and having that inner talent. And luckily, as I learned about the game of baseball and the MLB, I always had modeled so close to me the Dodgers farm system as an example. According to Jim Callis, these are the top five farm systems in the league currently. So you have the Padres, and that's of course with left-handed pitcher Mackenzie Gore, Luis Urias, and Taylor Trammell. So a trio there of highly ranked prospects. And then he has number two, the Rays. And the Rays are cool because a lot of depth extends beyond what is already a solo argument itself with the talented shortstop Wander Franco and left-handed pitcher Brandon McKay. Number three, he has the Dodgers. The core of the Dodgers right now actually came entirely from their farm system. Cody Bellinger, Walker Buehler, Jock Peterson, Corey Seager, Julio Urias, and Alex Verdugo. I feel like with the core being from the farm system and with the constant talent being added, such as Verdugo, and not taking into consideration all the injuries that the Dodgers have to compensate for, I see a stronger case for them being a higher spot, just with that core being the argument coming from the farm system. But in this argument for the top five farm systems, we're talking solely about the rank of the prospects that each of the farm systems have. So then at number four, he had the Marlins, and at number five, the Diamondbacks. On Monday, USC got huge news, literally and figuratively, that Evan Mobley has verbally confirmed for the 2020 season for USC. Mobley is a 5-star center, 6'11", with a 7'4 wingspan and a 9-foot standing reach. I mean, it's obvious to me that USC is very lucky for the family connection that Evan Mobley has with his brother and his father to obtain the talent that they are getting with Mobley. Mobley is the highest rated prospect to ever commit to USC, and he's the 8th 5-star prospect. And on top of that, Mobley is the first recruit for the 2020 year, which is huge in USC's recruiting and rebuilding efforts. And in my opinion, this means big things for the program. But USC is lucky to have gotten Evan Mobley. I don't think they otherwise had any business getting a guy like him. So moving on, we're approaching the near end of the show, and I just want to share with everyone, I've made minimal but effective efforts to acquire interview talent for this show, and I did reach out to someone. And in the past, from this person, I've received a tweet from him before, and I saw a great possibility if I were to ask him to be on the podcast that would be a possibility. So Alex Faust, the young play-by-play talent for the Kings, who filled massive shoes with Bob Miller, is still kind of up and coming in LA, and you're not able to direct message people on Twitter if they're not following you, so I had to go the Instagram route. And for me to expect someone of his capacity to respond when my Instagram inbox has like 16 unread messages, and then on top of that, the messages of people you don't follow show up in a completely different spot. I just think that the message didn't find him correctly. But in the past, I have brought someone from the Kings organization to 88.5 KURE, which is the Iowa State radio, and I brought the individual on a sports show, so I'm confident that I can conjure up a really cool interview just to kind of talk about maybe more of this business of sportscasting, not too much actual sports, but we'll see. So wait on that. I can pull something together. Now it's time to close out the show, but before I do, it's Wednesday, so hopefully this isn't breaking news for any of you listeners, but I wouldn't put it past anyone just because I called my mom like 3 days after this weekend's tragic events, and she had no idea just because she's kind of disconnected from the world in regards to social media and television. So anyways, As we go through the week and see how our nation is responding to the at least 31 lives taken in El Paso and Dayton due to the two separate mass shootings inside of that 24-hour time span, I just think it's important that we remind ourselves to think about these lives with the substance and complexity that they all had. It's so perilous adding names to a long list of fatalities as a result of mass shootings. And if it were to be someone that I loved to be unfortunately involved in one of these tragic incidents that are oh so random, it would be very painful for the legacy I know someone as to be overshadowed by the heinous nature of the event. So just keep that in mind. There's a lot of outlets online that reporters are bringing those stories to light, and families and loved ones of those individuals that were taken. So it's just great to keep yourself aware. And in times like this, I always try and look for something inside of a Martin Luther King speech or just a quote. And in this situation, I found, "We must accept finite disappointment and infinite hope." In another one, "Darkness cannot drive out darkness, only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate, only love can do that." All right, until next time, this is Hail Mary. I'm Mary Rominger. Thank you for tuning in.